Welcome to our sermon series, Beyond Blessed. Today, we dig into the scriptures to understand the biblical principles that unlock a life that is beyond blessed.
Last week, we began our new series that we were calling Beyond Blessed. And we answered a key question: who is the owner? Who owns the stuff that God has allowed you to have? Who owns your body, your family? Who owns everything? And we answered that God owns everything. And since God owns everything, it makes us stewards. We are simply people who have been entrusted with God's property, their relationships, the finances, you know, that place of work, that property that you have, it belongs to God. And God requires us to steward everything that is blessed into our lives for His glory. And we said, since we are stewards, we must put God first. Now, why would a God who owns everything say, put me first? Because He understands that whatever you put first ends up becoming your God. He understands that when we put things before Him, we begin to live for things and we don't get the things. And things don't satisfy, because we were created to be satisfied by our Heavenly Father. And so God said, put me first, because God is for you, because He wants to fully satisfy you in every area of our lives. And so we put Him first on the first day of the week. Today, we celebrate Him. We put Him first in the way we manage our time. And we normally say, put God first in your day, early in the morning. Spend some time talking to Heavenly Father to guide you. But in terms of finances, we put Him first in the tithe. Every time God blesses us with anything, we return 10% and we put Him first. Why? The word tithe means it's a tenth. And the number 10 biblically means testing. And so God is saying, I want to test you to see, are you for me or are you for money? And so when you learn to put God first in your tithes, in your finances, God is able to bless your life. Now, we want you to live a life that is beyond blessed. I want to live a life that is beyond blessed. In fact, Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, which is our theme verse for this series, Beyond Blessed. Now, to Him who is able to do immeasurably or exceedingly more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. In other words, God is able to do way above what you can ever think or ask. God wants to bless you. And the reason that God wants to bless you is because He wants you to be a blessing. The reason that we are teaching this series, Beyond Blessed, is because we want you to embrace the principles that we are going to be teaching, so that you live a life that is beyond blessed, so that you are generous on every occasion. And it's so nice that every year we get to give together, sacrificially, extravagantly, in what we call My Miracle Missions Offering, and we give it all away to bless people. Because Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So I'm excited about the last week of October as we celebrate that. God hasn't yet spoken to me like He's spoken to Pastor Remy, but I know He will speak to me along the way as we go along this series. Now today, I want to address a key principle that I believe that if we practiced, is going to enable us to live a life that is beyond blessed. And it's the principle of stewardship. Can you say with me, stewardship? Stewardship. That is what I'm going to talk about today. Now, last week we recommended a book called Beyond Blessed by Pastor Robert Morris from Gateway Church. And in this book, he teaches principles about living a life that is beyond blessed. Now, Pastor Robert wrote a book before that is called The Blessed Life, which I also recommend for you to read because it's amazing. And in this book, The Blessed Life, he taught principles of generosity, the tithe, and living a generous life. And he shares many stories how God was enabled him to give sacrificially, but also every time he gave, God always outgave him. And so people read this book, I read this book, And some of his congregation members would come to him, some of them, and I would say, Pastor, we are generous. But it looks like we are still living from hand to mouth. In other words, there is something that is missing in your book. And then Pastor Robert realized that actually he had not taught another principle that is necessary for people, for all of us, to live a life that is beyond blessed. And so on one side, we need to be people who are generous. That is a principle that is going to bring blessing upon your life. On the other side, that we need, the principle we need to embrace and practice, it's called the principle of stewardship. Now, let me illustrate it this way. Pastor Remy, please come on the stage. Everybody clap for Pastor Remy as he comes on this stage. Don't worry, this big stick is not for beating me. All right? So, Pastor Remy, I want you to live a life that is beyond blessed. Now, let's imagine that life that is beyond blessed is around the sound booth at the back of this auditorium, all right? So I want you to walk there. Now, with your two legs, you can walk there. Can you just practice your walking? Left, right, stop right there, come back. All right, for a moment, please come back. Now, imagine I told Pastor Remy to walk after I have pinned his 1 foot in this floor. Imagine I have pinned him with this stick. Okay, Pastor Remy, go. And live a life that's beyond blessed. Pastor Remy is going to move in circles. He won't go any far. Because he needs both legs to move to the life that is beyond blessed. Now, imagine I say, okay, it's because I've pinned this foot. Let me pin this one. Now, would you please move to the life that's beyond blessed? Please go. Pastor Remy is going to move in circles. No progress. Not even steady. No progress. Now, why am I doing this? If we are going to live a life that is beyond blessed, 1 foot is called generosity. But generosity alone will lead you to move in circles. The other foot is called stewardship. Stewardship alone too will lead you in circles. You need both legs. One is called generosity, the other is called stewardship. Let me test you and see if you know what I'm talking about. The first leg is called generosity. And the second? Stewardship. So if we are going to live a life that's beyond blessed, we need both legs. Now, Pastor Remy, walk a beyond blessed life. Please go. Clap for Pastor Remy. Thank you so much for that. So you can be a generous person, but if you are not a good steward, you are not going to live a life that's beyond blessed. If you don't know how to manage the resources that God has given to you, you will be frustrated. On the other side, you can be a good manager of resources and you're not generous. You won't live a life that's beyond blessed. We need both generosity and stewardship. And today, I'm going to address the subject of stewardship. And what is stewardship? Stewardship simply means you being able to manage somebody's property. It's not yours. And last week we learned that everything belongs to God and therefore we are stewards. And we said, how do we steward the 100% that God gives to us? The first thing we do, we take off 10%, which is the tithe. Now let me ask you another question. Who owns the 90% that stays? It's God still. But he also has principles of managing the 90%. It belongs to God and he wants you to manage it very well. Now Jesus addresses this subject of stewardship when he was teaching his disciples about the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. You can open your Bibles and to that wonderful chapter. And let's read this this passage and see what God has for us today. And this is what Jesus said. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. The man is Jesus, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. I want you to note that. Everybody was given talents according to their abilities. And immediately, the master went on a long journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Watch this. His Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So, he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We see the good steward was rewarded right there. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Do you see something there? The commendation of both servants is the same. He didn't tell the guy at 5 talents, you have a bigger portion. No, in other words, it's about being faithful with what God has entrusted with you. It's not about the number. It's about being faithful with the number that God has given to you. Then, he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. He didn't lose nothing. He gained nothing. And watch what the Lord says. The Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money. Whose money? The Lord's money. With the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my money with interest. So he was also rewarded. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. It looks unfair, but actually it's not. Why? For to everyone who has been faithful, has stewarded what was entrusted to them, more will be given. And he will have an abundance and have haters. But from him who does not have even what he has will be taken away. Why? He's a bad steward. And cast that unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow, this is an amazing parable. But it's rich in lessons about stewardship for us today. Now, just to give a little bit of context here, the word talent in Jesus' day did not mean playing football very well like Lionel Messi, or playing the guitar very well, or dancing like Michael Jackson. Okay? The word talent was a measure of wealth. And 1 talent in this day was equivalent to a year's wage. Just think about if you're a salaried earner, multiply your monthly income, gross pay, by 12 months. That was equivalent to 1 talent. So this means the person who was given 1 talent was not given little money. He was given a lot of money. This guy was loaded. And so the one has given 5 talents, a lot more money. But we see Jesus said this. Each was given according to what they could handle. Because all of us have a measure of ability. We are not all equal in ability. And God will judge us according to our abilities, not your neighbor's ability. So what can we learn from this parable? The first thing that I want us to see is that you and I are already stewards. You are already a steward. If you don't own anything, that makes you a steward. The question is, are you a good steward or you are a bad steward? Each one of us has been given something. In that parable, we see 3 servants and each one was given something. None of them had nothing. And it's true for all of us in this place. God has given us resources. God has blessed us with relationships. God has given us something. This is very easy for us here, especially in our country, Uganda, in a third world country. And for us, we are called a highly indebted poor country. And sometimes that mindset, the economic mindset by which we are defined by the world, we get to believe it and live with it. We think we are poor, and unless I go to the United States of America, I can never succeed. Very wrong. You are already a steward. God has blessed you. Some of you in this place have more than one piece of property. Let me ask you, what is on that property? You may find there's nothing. So you are blessed. You have relationships. You have family. Some of you are renting houses, but in the backyard. What can you do with that backyard? You go to Hong Kong and understand the value of land. In Hong Kong, there's not enough land. They build going up. Some of you have a 3-bedroom house and you're complaining, God, this is too small. You ask people in Hong Kong, 1 bedroom is actually a mansion. I know some friends who say, you guys, this is, you have all this? You guys are so rich, like we're so poor. Can we come to Hong Kong? You are so blessed. We are so blessed. You have a brain that is working. You have hands that are able. You have legs that can walk. We are blessed. You see, we have a lot of minds. But let me ask, what mindset do we have concerning what God has given to us? Most times we look at the grass on the other side and we say the grass is greener on the other side. You forget that on the other side people are watering their grass. You are stepping on yours. If you begin watering your grass, if you begin becoming a good steward, if you begin to see that you are so blessed and you ask God, what can I do with what you've given to me? Your grass is going to become greener and people are going to want to come where you are. Uganda, we are so blessed. This weather is amazing. We can plant every day of the year and things are going to grow. There are countries where they just plant for 3 months planting season and they are richer than us. We are so blessed. You already are a steward. But I think the problem is where? Normally it's up here. It's a mindset. We have believed a lie that the blessing was on the other side. No, the blessing begins right here. By adopting a kingdom mindset to understand that the gracious God, our Heavenly Father, is not unfair. He always blesses each one of His creation. We are blessed. You are blessed. We are stewards. The question is, are you a good steward or you are a complaining steward? You are a comparing steward or a bad steward? So here we see that we are all stewards. The second thing that I want to bring to our attention today is stewards protect and multiply. Stewards protect what has been entrusted to them. They don't destroy, but also they multiply. They make it better. In this parable, we see the 5 talented man and the 2 talented guy, they returned an investment. There was a return on investment. Stewards. God's expectation for all of us in this place is that whatever is placed in our hands must become better. Do you know how I know that? Because the last steward who brought back exactly what was given to him, God said, at least you should have earned me a little interest. In other words, God's expectation of all of us is to protect what is given to us, but also to multiply it, to make it better. To return an investment, a return on investment. In business terms, if you hire a manager to run your company, you always are waiting for a return on investment. We are by nature created that way to make things better. In the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Make it better. In other words, whatever God has placed in your hands, He expects it to multiply. Let me ask you a key question today. Are you a multiplier or you are a divider? Have you made the things better? Is your place of work better because you are there or it's worse? Is that house that you are renting a better house since you entered that house, or the landlord cannot wait to kick you out? Are your relationships better or they are bitter? We are stewards who are supposed to protect and multiply, make better everything that God has placed in your hands. Now, I traveled with the Wachoro Children's Choir for many years, and one of the things that we were taught is this: leave places better than you found them. I'm so glad I learned that. Nobody taught me that at university. I was qualified as an engineer. Leave places better than you found them. When you show up at a church and you, the 18 children and 10 adults, you've used those toilets, after using them, clean the place up, spray, and make it better. After you've set up and used the stage, even if you found it disorganized, make sure by the time you leave, the place is better than you found it. When you arrive at a concert venue and it's dirty, first pick up all the trash before you can set up. Leave places better than you found them. When you go in a host home, yes, they've been very hospitable. They have had you. Make sure that you are a blessing rather than a burden. And as a result, everywhere we go, the choirs are always appreciated. Friends, Wachoro Church, I think the children's choir is our greatest export to the outside world because they are great ambassadors. They have always left places better than they found them. That is stewardship. And as a result, God has opened doors and more doors and even more doors on every continent. People say, bring them, bring Wachoro. Not only the choir, bring Wachoro Church. Because you have taught your children the principle of stewardship. They are a blessing. Do you make things better? Are you a multiplier? That is the principle of stewardship. There has to be a return on investment. When you borrow somebody's car, when you return it, do you add more fuel or you just empty the thing and just return it? When you get a little bit of a scratch on one side, do you say, I found it like that? Or good stewardship means spray the whole of it. Good stewardship, when you borrow the car, if you found a half tank, return it full tank. I can guarantee you that person will be eager to give you that car the next time. Some of you, when you are on a red list, nobody wants to ever give you anything. When you borrow a book and you've made it dirty and old, buy a new one. Now, some of you have given me my books. You've never returned them. I don't even know who you are, but the Lord is going to ask you. See, I give books in trust. I'm telling you, I never know. But when I'm giving out a book, I know you, I'll never forget you. Immediately, I forget. And some books have become history. And they are in your house screaming, I belong to Pastor. Return me in a better condition with interest. When you leave this place today, are you going to leave it better or are you going to leave it trashed? Ouch. It amazes me. We have bins all around this place. But when the people of God have left, they leave their burdens behind. Ouch. I know today you're going to clean up, but next week, will you clean up again? So stewards protect and multiply. And that is what God wants us to do. If you are going to live a life that is beyond blessed, you must make better what has been entrusted with you. That's what God wants of all of us, including the money, the 90% that stays after you've tithed. He wants to make sure you multiply. In the next weeks, we shall teach some tools on how you can steward that. We have even a stewardship stream that takes place every Sunday to enable you to become good stewards. The third thing from this text that I see is stewards are accountable. Stewards account. They acknowledge that they are not the final authority. They know that a time is going to come when the master is going to ask the question, what have you done with what I entrusted with you? In fact, this parable, I believe it should be called the parable of settling accounts when the master returns. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Now, in this text, Jesus never said when the master was going to return. But the issue is, the master returned. If you're in business, you know the time. We are closing books. We are auditing. We make sure accountability happens. It's part of life. It's part of the kingdom. And the day is coming when we all are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible says we are going to be judged according to what we have done, our works in body. Not for salvation, because we are saved. God expects us to account for everything we've done. The time, the people, the money, the property. We're going to stand before God and give an account. It's biblical. We see it happening here. Paul says this in Romans 14, 11 and 12. For the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend, every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. It's personal, not communal. It's not family. It is personal. As we have seen, three were given talents, but each one of them accounted as a person. All of us, each one of us, are going to stand before God. I'm not going to give an account. Accountability is part of stewardship. In fact, Jesus tells another parable in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21. It's called the parable of the rich fool. And you will see why this man was a fool. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. Are you hearing the language? Mine. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Why was this rich man reprimanded? It was not because he was rich. God is not against people being rich. He wasn't reprimanded because he had money. He was reprimanded because he lived for himself. Everything was about him. My crops, my barns, my soul. He did not acknowledge there was an accountability. He was living for somebody bigger than him. So being rich is not a sin. Being owned by the riches is a sin. That's a sin of idolatry. So Jesus here is telling us that we need to live with the understanding that a time of accountability always comes, and we must account to the one who has blessed us. But also, I love the last verse here. It says, so is he. If you live for yourself and you're living for life just here below on earth, so is he who lays treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. In other words, the reason God wants to bless our stewardship, the reason God wants to have more than enough and we live a life that is beyond blessed, is so that we can be generous on all occasions. God wants to bless us so that we can become a blessing, to be enriched in every way, so that at all times we can be generous. God doesn't want us to be containers. He wants us to be vessels. And if you can become a vessel, a faithful vessel, God is going to entrust you with his wealth and riches. The reason we're teaching this series is not so that we have a good bottom line. Actually, we need to have zero, so that when the bottom line increases, we give it all away. And then God blesses us more. We need to be living for a bigger purpose. Living for God, who is bigger than the stuff he wants to bless us with. That's the mindset of a steward. You know you are doing business on behalf of your master. And when he comes, we are going to account. I'm also a steward of this local assembly called Wadodo Church in Tinda. And my prayer is that the moment I step out of this door, a day, one day, I'm not saying tomorrow, I can look back and God said, well done. You made it better, not worse. But I know I'm accountable. I'm not my final boss here. I have a leader who I'm accountable to. I don't do my thing here. Some friends around say, your church. I'm like, it's not my church. It's a church where I serve. I live with that understanding because I'm a steward. I don't want it to get into my brain. Say, oh my goodness, I'm a church of these people. And all of a sudden, hey, wow, look at all the people here. They are mine. They're not. And I begin to have a big head. I begin to be proud. No, this is the Lord's church. I'm accountable to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stand before him and I'm going to account. When I was a young pastor, some people would come to me and say, Pastor, can't we do our own thing? And I'm like, nope. I'm a man under authority. I can't do our own thing. I do what we are all doing. And because of that, that's why I'm here. If I did my own thing 6 years ago, I would never be standing here. Some of you have not been promoted because you're doing your own thing in your master's property. And God will never bless bad stewardship because it's not good for you. It's not good for his kingdom. It's not good for his name. Some of you are praying, God, promote me, promote me, promote me. I'm saying, can you be a good steward? Can you multiply? Can you live with a mindset of accountability each and every day? And God is not answering your prayer because you are not practicing a key principle. Can you multiply, make better what I've entrusted with you? Can you live with a mindset of accountability? And when you do that, God is going to bless you. We see it here that stewards are rewarded. Stewards are rewarded. The two servants, the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you a ruler over many things. And to the one who was unfaithful, he said, take what that person has and give it to the person who has exercised good stewardship. Sometimes we see people who are being blessed because of good stewardship and we think they're cheating, but because they're practicing this principle. You know, I love that God is so fair. You see, he rewards us according to what was entrusted to us. Are we together? He doesn't reward us according to what was given to our neighbors. So there is stuff that God has entrusted with you. Don't compare yourself with other people. They will account to God for what God has given to them. The key question is, are you focused in your area of influence or you are busy comparing? But his business is growing every year. He has another branch. In Luganda, we say, Fakumodala go. Stay in your lane. Nobody ever wins their race when they are looking in the other lane. They focus on the finishing point. They stay in their lane. Good stewards are rewarded. And bad stewards are punished. What kind of steward are you today? So remember the two legs. If we are going to live a life that's beyond blessed, we need to live a life of generosity. We need to return the tithe. But also we must make sure that we are managing God's property very well. Because if we are not faithful with a few things God has blessed to us by being good stewards here, God can never entrust us with more. And the goal of stewardship is this. Everybody, listen to me for this moment. This is important. The goal for stewardship and the goal for God blessing good stewardship is not that we can make a big name for ourselves. The goal of stewardship is because God wants to make a big name for himself through you. The reason he wants you to live a life that is beyond blessed is because he wants you to become a blessing. Friends, I'm looking forward to a day. And you know, we are located in the right place, in a very poor continent, in a poor country. Some people call us very poor, and that's okay. Because if we are called the very poor, the poorest of the world, you know what's going to happen? If we apply these principles I'm teaching today, and we become extravagantly generous, people are going to look here and say, what are you doing at Wododo Church? You know what? We are living a life that is beyond blessed because we want to be generous on all occasions. I'm so grateful that over the last couple of years, God has worked in us. He has used us to be a blessing. As you sit there today, there are people who are sleeping in houses built because of your generosity. People whose houses were blown away, but they returned and they found the loving people from Uganda. People they will probably never meet in this life that were a blessing. And today they are thanking God because of your generosity. That is what it means to live a life that is beyond blessed. Every year, I get excited about generosity. You know why? Because we are writing history. And many people, many pastors, even in Kampala, have asked Pastor Gary, please teach us how you do it at Wototo. How can we make our people give more? And we tell them, you've got it all wrong. It's not three things. It is something God has been working in our hearts for the last 35 years. It's not a magical portion. It's living a life of integrity. It is about knowing that he is the master. We are accountable to him. And he is the one who is working in each and every heart for his glory. I'm looking forward for a day that people are going to look at Wototo to learn what generosity looks like. And I'm telling you, we are not very far. Because every year, we are writing some amazing stories that are giving glory to God. Come on, can you say amen to that? Excites me. And so as I conclude, worship team, please come on the stage. I don't want us to be like the third servant. The third servant had a problem. He said, I knew you, God, to be a hard master who reaps what you don't sow. And because of that, I was afraid. This third servant saw God as a user, as a control freak, as a manipulator. And therefore, he missed out on God's blessing. See, many times, when we talk about things to do with money, I say, there they come. I want to let you know that we as your pastors, we are not after your money. We are not. God is not after your money. God is after your heart. For wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And God wants us to treasure him above everything. The third servant had a wrong mindset of God. He thought God is this controlling big guy up there who wants to make his life miserable. On the contrary, God wants to bless you beyond what you can ever imagine or think. But he wants your heart to be right. He doesn't want your heart to be controlled by his things. He's after your heart. Is your heart right with God today? He wants your heart. And God demonstrates that he is for us, not after our money, by giving his very best. He gave his son, Jesus Christ. He gave his only son before we even invited him, while we were still sinners. And then Jesus himself, he sacrificially gave his life. Jesus didn't contribute to us our salvation. Jesus sacrificed his life to purchase you and me back from bondage to sin. He gave everything. Now, if he did not spare his son, but gave him up for us, how won't he, along the Son, give us all things? What am I saying, friends? God is for you. He wants what is best for you. But we must change in our hearts and surrender our hearts to him if we are going to experience a life that is beyond blessed.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portodo.com.